FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits, and has a premier seven-project portfolio, including its two flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's A-U-R-Y-N resources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 2/26/19. That means that there's only two more days left of February. It's been an exciting ride. Well, the economy is going on all cylinders, and what could possibly go wrong? Certainly, if you talk to the Fed, if you listen to Mr. Powell, Chairman Powell, nothing. Everything is fine, and rates can go up, and we'll all party on. But is that really true? Well, our good friend Sam McElroy is with us now. Sam, are we in the best of all possible worlds here? Does it just keep on getting better and better, or is there cause for concern?
You know, I think that there's evidence that it really could be both, neither, or all. All of the above. We don't exactly know. There's no denying that for a while now, we've had a lot of good economic indicators with respect to the economy in general. Even some of the pieces where maybe a year ago that I was kind of harping on, such as things as stagnant wage growth and stuff like that, we've seen some incremental movement from those respects as well. Unemployment numbers, job numbers, all those things still look good. But at the same time, there are some things from a financial standpoint, maybe not even so much of an economic, but more so just from a demographic spending power standpoint and from a stock market standpoint, that I think still gives me question marks and still gives me some pause to kind of see what's going to happen. I think one of the other things is that I don't want to go so far as to say that Powell is changing what he's saying every single day, but I'm getting a lot of mixed messages. For example, you know, throughout the course of 2017, we saw a number of interest rate increases. We all know that when interest rates on the short side, or the short term rather, increase, we need the market to absorb that by increasing long-term rates. And we saw that happen throughout most of 2018, except for the end of the year, where we actually had a slight flattening of the yield curve. We also saw some heightened volatility the end of 2018, but start of 2019, we saw a lot of that start to recover again. Markets, in my mind, have still been kind of up and down. And now I have Powell, who's still saying that, you know, he's concerned that there may be a slowdown. So at some point, he's saying that he feels like he may be able to increase interest rates, and then he kind of changes that and says, you know what, we may not be able to. So, in, you know, it just seems like there's a lot of ambiguity, not just because of the uncertainty of the situation, but because there's a lot of mixed messages out there today.
Mm-hmm. So really, it's difficult to find a direction here, isn't it? So you kind of just have to look at the trend, say a trend in motion continues until it stops, and just kind of say the trend's going to run its course, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so. And when you talk about trends, I think that this is a key aspect where we want to be cognizant that we don't just look at short-term trends, but that we really back up and look at longer-term trends. You know, I think it's very easy for us to talk about, you know, how well the market has done over the last decade. But I think for a lot of people that were in the market before 2009, they didn't necessarily reap the full reward of that, because from 2009 to, say, 2013, they were basically making up lost ground. So the question really becomes, what should we expect? We know the market doesn't continue to go up indefinitely, but we know that it also doesn't have to fall just because it's been going up for a long period of time. So I think now what everybody's trying to figure out is how much room is there on the upside, and then compared to how much potential loss could there be on the downside if things were to start to unravel a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And that's the question, really. Is the downside an elevator drop where, you know, you're going down the elevator and you're in a large skyscraper and all of a sudden the cable gives out and you just free fall? Or will it be a gradual little ascent a couple floors at a time, you know, when everybody, it's rush hour, everybody's pushing the buttons to get out and you wind up stopping at every floor and it's annoying, but, you know, it's a controlled drop.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, even though the market has done really well, and where I, even though I see a lot of paths where the market can continue to do well this year, if I look at a lot of stocks and if I look at, you know, the cyclically adjusted price to earnings ratio, and I know that there is a lot of talk these days about, you know, whether the PE ratio needs to be adjusted, whether it's a good metric the way that it used to be. But in general, if I'm trying to base my decision on where I think the market is on something, I do still think that a lot of stocks in the market as a whole is slightly running overheated. I think it kind of outran economic growth. And it's a question of whether or not that gap is going to get closed by corporations continuing to increase profits before, you know, I guess the other side happens, which is that we just see a lot more volatility and bouncing around to kind of buy more time for corporations to continue to increase profits. And I think there's a lot of pieces in that. You know, I've been really focusing on the call at the last year or so, just in demographics in general, because I think that kind of tells a big story, though it's not the end-all be-all. You know, a lot of people that we consult with and talk to predominantly through our firm and other things that we do is people that are getting ready to retire. And I look around and I just say, you know, in order for us to have sustained economic growth, there needs to be somebody or some entities that are in kind of that growth mode, that are dumping capital into the economy to spur it on. And I'm just not sure where that's going to come from these days. You know, the baby boom population is not there. They're basically gearing up for retirement. They're, you know, shedding excess baggage, excess debt. They're downsizing, not upsizing in terms of houses. And so we look at the millennials and we say, well, the millennials are a larger size demographic than the baby boomers, but they're not quite in their peak spending years yet. And they're also delaying a lot of stuff that they're doing. So instead of buying cars and houses and other stuff like that, many of them are taking time to pay off student loans, to rent for a little while, some of those other pieces, which means that really it falls on the shoulders of corporations and from exports. And I think that's where we got to wait to see whether there's enough growth from those entities that it's enough to basically continue to have compounding GDP growth.
Huh. Interesting conundrum there. I was going to say the millennials are putting off everything, including growing up, you know, especially growing up. It's the Peter Pan generation, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I hear that a lot, and I don't disagree with that. I think that there are certainly a lot of millennials that do need to grow up and that need to engage actively into society, into economy, into, you know, all the things that we're doing. But, you know, I've really been surprised by a lot of millennials also and the financial responsibility that they've really taken in terms of feeling like they have to do it on their own. And I think one of the things I've really noticed is that for a lot of millennials, they experienced two major market downturns, the dot-com bubble of the early 2000s and then subprime mortgage crash in 08-09. And as a result, many of them are actually using some of their cynicism to be prudent financial people. They just don't believe they're going to have Social Security in the future. They believe that they got to kind of do it on their own. And they've seen their parents struggle to some degree when things don't go great. So I think that there's some of them out there that definitely have that Peter Pan syndrome. But I think there's also some of there that have really been serious when it comes to their finances and the things they want to do just in you know, the broader context of their career and society at large.
Mm-hmm. So we're faced with this, where is the growth going to come from? Because obviously the housing sector is a huge, huge portion of the economy. Really, with a dead housing sector, it's really hard for the economy to grow. if it's a static.
Yeah.
And we've never really gotten to the point where we were before the Great Recession in terms of housing starts and in terms of, you know, housing sales. We've never gotten back to there. So maybe until we get there, it's, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
But I think you're right. You know, we work with a lot of realtors, and in 2018, for many of them, it was one of the worst years they had ever had. And it wasn't so much because, you know, people couldn't afford stuff, but it was just that people were nervous. They were nervous enough that they just didn't want to move. You know, I heard about just a record number of deals that fell apart because the buyers and sellers just weren't willing to budge at all. You know, the buyers thought that it was a buyer market. The sellers thought it was a seller's market, and nothing was happening. Yes. And I think that that's kind of indicative of where people are in general. I think that there's a lot of people that aren't quite sure where the market's going, where the economy is going, so they kind of feel like until there's just a clear-cut answer and they can now see what the next 3 to 5 years holds, they're kind of just sitting tight to wait it out a little bit.
Yeah, so it's a wait and see, and that in itself is you're making a decision not to make a decision, and we all know danger is there. So you got to be proactive, but how do you become proactive here? So what do you do?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that I think we often sometimes outthink ourselves. You know, we think that we're going to somehow take hold of data that's readily available and, you know, use it to our advantage and figure out how to, you know, duck and dive and move at the right time. But I think history tells us that we're all pretty bad at that. I think what really wins the game is setting a course, having a strategy, and following it through, making sure that it fits you and what you're trying to do. So this is where I think being purpose-based just becomes so vitally important. People really have to understand how much risk they need to take to accomplish their financial goals. I can't tell you how many people that I talk to are taking risk that they're not actually getting any commensurate reward for, that if they were to reduce their risk a little bit, it wouldn't make any difference on whether or not they actually hit their financial goal. And I think for people to be able to really understand that and make sure that the goal here isn't simply to put up a better score, meaning you don't just need to throw up a better rate of return than, say, the S&P 500. That's not how you define success, at least from a personal standpoint for most people. It's really got to be anchored in, you know, how much money can we really have at risk without jeopardizing lifestyle, our future, our goals, whatever we have, and to the degree that we're taking calculated risks, what is our reasonable expectation for the risk that we're taking? I still say, you know, if you got 30 years to wait it out, even if the market takes a 50% drop tomorrow, you're going to be okay. Because 50 years from now, probably it's going to look a lot better. But, you know, if somebody's 63 and they plan on retiring in 2 years from now, well, it's a whole different ballgame in terms of what it is that they're trying to do and what their goals are. So for everybody, now is the time where they really need to make sure that they understand what it is that they're trying to accomplish, and they don't get lost in all the rhetoric and hoopla of, you know, what we talk about trying to figure out, you know, where the economy is going. It's meaningful from a discussion standpoint, from a strategy standpoint, but there's a lot of other practical things that I think people can do to make sure that they're in the best place for them specifically.
Right. So the key, I guess, is just not to wait around here and wait for the inevitable to happen, and to prepare yourself, have a plan. You know what Mike Tyson says about a plan: last until you get hit in the head, right?
That's but right.
Better you have right. one than not have one, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So that leaves us. If you were a baby boomer getting ready to retire, what would you be doing?
Well, if I was a baby boomer getting ready to retire, the thing that I'd really be focusing on is understanding where my return is coming from in my portfolio. I think too often people use the same type of growth model portfolio that they used when they were accumulating wealth, thinking that it's going to be just as good at distributing income, but it's not really true. Mathematically, it's not true. Paying attention to how much income you're generating versus how much you have oriented for growth can really help people increase the amount of usable cash flow they can get out of a portfolio while simultaneously reducing their risk. And I think it'd be those types of things that I'd really pay attention to, as well as trying to make sure that I understand and have a good strategy for how I'm going to combat the things that I just can't know today. You know, changes in inflation, changes in health, changes in taxes, and those types of things.
Yeah, so there's the so-called known knowns and then the unknown, the known unknowns, and then the unknown unknowns, as former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld once said. So we got to watch out for these unknown unknowns, which we just can't possibly know what the deal is with them, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting. Well, you cleared up a lot, but you raised a lot of questions in the process, Sam. So I know that you're going to want to ask Sam some questions. Where's the best place to find you these days?
Yeah, it's just on our website. So www.atfinancial.com.
Okay. As always, there's a link in the show notes to your site. Hey, questions, comments, we invite you to email us, kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, where we post a lot of hilarious tweets, especially about dumb things that people do in Florida. That would be Financial Survival Network. And don't forget, please subscribe, like, and share us on any platform that you hear the show. It really helps us a lot, helps me, helps get the message out to people who really need it. Sam, really appreciate you coming on. Good luck.
Yep, thank you very much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.